When I looked at what was this coming Sunday's gospel, today's gospel, at the beginning of this week, I had a little moment of dread, of that I always dread this gospel a little bit from my very first year of seminary. That the weekend of this gospel, my first year of seminary, I went out into a parish in Philadelphia for the seminary appeal to ask people to pray for and to contribute for the cause of St. Charles Seminary. And as there, I was there, a brand new seminarian, just able to wear my cassock for the first time, being very excited, very bright-eyed, the pastor proceeded to compare me to the scribe in today's gospel, of how I wear long robes. I was wearing my cassock, a nice long robe. How I'm there sitting in the sanctuary, a place of honor, and how I'm there to ask for money, as the scribes do, devouring the houses of the widows. And so here I am still today in nice long robes, still preaching away. We hear this gospel story about the widow's mite and tend to think of it as a lesson in giving and great sacrifice. And that is true. It's a lesson we need to hear, especially in these times, these hard times, these times of purification in the church. But looking over the readings for today from the book of Kings and Mark's gospel, I was struck by something else. There is another theme that casts a long shadow over these two scripture readings this Sunday. They are both about giving, yes, but they're also both about something unexpected. They're also about loss and death. Last week, when we heard the Beatitudes, we heard once again that blessed are they who mourn. This week, we're challenged to look beyond mourning. The two women in these readings were widows. Once they loved someone, depended upon him, but death changed everything, which means that they were both struggling just to stay alive. They may even have been beggars. Thousands of years ago, when a woman became a widow and had no family to support her, no significant amount of money socked away somewhere, her life was effectively over. She might literally be living day to day, hand to mouth. A widow in Jesus' day would have a hard time just taking care of herself and her children, let alone anyone else. And yet, the widows we meet today do the opposite. Instead of hoarding for themselves, holding on to whatever they could, they surrender. They gave of themselves however they could, whatever they could, all of what they could. A little flour, a couple small coins. They held nothing back, and they were blessed because of that. It calls to mind another widow who was blessed, that widow being Mary. Maybe Jesus saw that widow at the treasury and thought of his own mother, what she had sacrificed, what she had, what she lost. She may very well have had to struggle to make ends meet in bringing up Jesus after Joseph had died. Jesus saw that. He knew that. He knew the value of those two coins to that widow. He understood where the widow at the treasury was coming from. He had seen it himself. And he understood what the widow at the temple was doing. She didn't hold back. She let go. She didn't take. She gave. The widow's action provides an extreme example of religious generosity and trust in God. As Jesus points out, it's not the amount that is contributed that counts before God, but the totality of personal trust and self-giving that the amount represents. For some, it's just what they have left over after making good allowance for their comfortable lifestyle. For the widow, it was absolutely everything, keeping nothing for herself. She could rely only now on the providence of God, to whom she had surrendered all. In this way, the widow goes and becomes an example of faith, to admire and to emulate according to circumstance and calling. That is the lesson we all need to hear. We may suffer terrible losses that rob us of those we love. We may grieve, we may mourn, we may ask ourselves why. But the way through loss is love, opening our hearts, giving ourselves, holding nothing back. You can think of Elizabeth Ann Seton, that she was married in 1794, and that her husband died only 9 years later when they were in Italy from tuberculosis. And it was there in Italy after her husband's death, getting to know the Catholic Church, that she gave over her life to God, that she entered the Catholic Church, converted to Catholicism, returned to America, and established the religious order there, not that far from us in Emmitsburg. And then she died shortly after that. But that she turned over everything she had as a widow, gave over her entire life to that of God, even as providing for her children that she had already had with her husband. And what really matters is simply to give, even in the midst of shattering loss. This month, we go and remember our own losses. And throughout the November, we remember those in our parish who have died this past year. And we pray for them, that as a community of faith, we are like the widows in today's reading. We all have been touched by death. And so we pray for those we have lost. And even beyond our own grief, beyond personal loss, we all carry some sadness, some hurt within us. There are 1,000 smaller deaths that leave their mark on us. Injustice, abuse, betrayal, infidelity, anxieties, and fears. We all may feel at times that the world is unfair and unjust. We may carry scars that others cannot see. But the gospel today gives us a beautiful message, that the answer isn't a closed fist shaking back in anger at the world, but an open hand, a hand that gives, a hand that holds nothing back. And this is what we see from Jesus on the cross. His hands are outstretched and open, pouring forth his precious blood for the redemption of our souls, that we might be saved from sin, that his hands are holding nothing back for our salvation. St. Mother Teresa famously said, "We can only do small things with great love." It may be something small as a coin, or a note, or a whispered prayer. We need to offer it with love, a love that holds nothing back. Remember the widow at the treasury. Remember Elizabeth Ann Seton. Remember the great love of Jesus on the cross. Because the way through loss is love, and the way through fear is faith. And so we can ask ourselves, how can we live out that love? How can we share that faith? What can we give? And coming to Mass, confronted with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we learn from him that what we can give is our very selves.